Hymn 30, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given an incredible gift, a wonderful privilege in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Our gracious God knew what we would need. You see, both the Lord's Supper and baptism are given to us to remind us and to assure us of the gospel promise. That's what we saw a few weeks ago when we dealt with Lord's Day 25. So I thought it would be good to first back up a bit and just remind ourselves of this truth. Also, for those of you who might not have been here, if you have your catechism open, you can follow along. We came to the conclusion there, we confess in question and answer 65, that it is faith alone that makes us share in Christ and all his benefits. And the Holy Spirit produces this faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. But then, not only does the Holy Spirit work this faith in our hearts, he strengthens our faith too. That is, he confirms it through our use of the sacraments. And then we saw, question and answer 66, how sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see with our eyes. That is, they are visible. Our God provided them for us so that we might understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. If you were here, you might remember that we heard, I quoted from Sinclair Ferguson, how he explained this concept. It just really resonated with me. We don't get a different or a better Christ in the sacraments than we do in the Word, but we may get the same Christ better. See, the sacraments then, they give us a firmer grasp of his grace through seeing, through touching, through feeling and tasting, as well as hearing. And so when we use them as they were intended, we more fully can understand what the promise of the gospel that is revealed to us in God's word. And lest we forget, this is the promise of the gospel. God promises to forgive us our sins and to give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. Yes, we were also reminded of this, question and answer 67, not once, twice even, that both the word and the sacraments are meant to focus our faith on Jesus Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. And why? Because that one sacrifice is the only ground of our salvation. Or put another way, our entire salvation rests on what Jesus did for us on the cross. And now, after seeing how baptism strengthens our faith over the past couple Sundays, we turn our attention to the Lord's Supper. You see, if we're going to make bold statements about how the sacraments are signs and seals of the promise of the gospel, it's only natural that the very next question is, how? How does the Lord's Supper signify and seal to you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? Do you notice, brothers and sisters, how we're getting a lot more intimate now? To you, that you share in Christ. This is not just dry doctrine. It's not about what's up here. This is about what's deep down in your heart. See, our catechism makes it personal. This is for you and me. And notice also that the fact that we share in Christ is a given. That is what's taught to us in the gospel. What we are dealing with today is how the Lord's Supper reminds and assures us of this wonderful truth. And so I preach to you God's word as it is summarized in Lord's Day 28, and I'll use the following theme. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper focuses our faith on the only ground of our salvation, which is Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. And we'll see how our faith is strengthened by, first of all, being reminded, secondly, being assured. We sure seem to need and get a lot of reminders, don't we? Reminders to pay our bills, reminders of events coming up, reminders to take our medications, and the list goes on. And they come to us in all sorts of ways, by mail, by email, by social media, you know, the little red dots that are so annoying, automated phone calls, even our spouses and other family members, our friends, they all get in on the action. And I haven't even mentioned yet the reminders we set for ourselves. I don't know about you, but I use my reminder app a lot for all kinds of things. Otherwise, I know myself, I tend to forget. That seems to be our nature, isn't it? And I hate to tell you, it only gets worse as you get older. See, all of this just makes me marvel at what a gracious God we have. He knows us more than we know ourselves, even. And knowing how we have that tendency to forget all that He has promised, He gave us something to remind us. Just like He's always done, by the way. Even though His word should have been enough, He gave signs to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to Gideon, to David, through the prophets, to Thomas. On and on it goes. And Jesus knew we too are certainly no different. Which is probably why He didn't leave it optional when He instituted the Lord's Supper, or baptism for that matter. We read together how when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus commanded you and I and all believers to eat the bread and drink from the cup, to remember Him that way. For Jesus took bread and He broke it and He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is for you. Do this to remember me." These aren't helpful suggestions. They are commands. As with the cup, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you. Do this to remember me." And so, obeying Jesus Christ, we continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And when we do, we are reminded again of what Christ did for us. It's like those little beeps on our phones, or the message popping up on our screens. "Hey, Ted," and you can fill in your own names here, "remember that I suffered on the cross for you. Do you see the bread? Do you see the wine? These are reminders of my body that I offered for you, and my blood that I shed for you." As Jesus Christ knew what we would need. He knew we could and would get distracted by many things. And isn't this so true? We can be distracted by our own sins, Those things we fight against over and over again. Or maybe the distraction comes from a particular sin, whether past or present, one that you just can't seem to shake that feeling that it's too big to be forgiven. We can be distracted when we come across people, yes, sometimes even our very own brothers and sisters in Christ, that let us down. Friends, relatives, even our families can do or say things that are so hurtful. We can get distracted by tragedies that happen in the world, wars, persecution, by hardships we have to face, by sickness, by the way a country or a culture is heading. Satan loves to distract us, as we heard this morning, to hinder us, to put roadblocks in our way. And so there are many ways we can lose our focus. And so Jesus Christ, mindful of that, commanded us, eat of the broken bread, to drink from the cup. Do this, Christ said, and remember me. Focus on me. Focus on what I did for you. The bread and the wine help us to put the blinders on, so to speak. They put our feet back on the path, blocking out all the things that could distract us from this truth. Our salvation doesn't depend on us getting it right. It rests on Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. Then we are reminded that we do share in Christ and in all his benefits. And knowing this, we are once again strengthened so that we can deal with, for example, the fact that we still sin. We can know that any or all, big or small, sins, brothers and sisters, when we repent, we can know that when we confess our sins, they are forgiven. Then we can deal with our neighbor in love, whoever that might be. We can rest assured when we go through whatever trial we have to face. We can rest in the comfort of knowing we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are reminded to focus on Jesus, for he is the bread of life, as we read from John 6. Listen again as Jesus continues explaining, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, it is true that the Holy Spirit can and does use this word of the gospel to cause us to believe. In other words, the word is enough. It's not because the word lacks power, but it is to cater to our weakness that we are given the sacrament to remind us. Visible bread, a visible cup. See, these are tangible signs of the truth that we read from verse 55. For my flesh is true or real food. My blood is true or real drink. Do you see, brothers and sisters, how both the word and the sacraments then, they focus our attention on Jesus Christ? Because when we see, taste, and feel the bread and the wine, we are reminded through these signs that Jesus Christ's body was offered once and for all for us. On the cross, his blood was poured out for you and me. Yes, the words from the hymn, "Until He Comes," sums it up well. His body offered in our stead is shown in this memorial bread. And thus our contrite souls are fed until He comes. His lifeblood shed for us we see, poured out for us undoubtedly, as wine we drink in memory until He comes. What a wonderful gift. No, what an incredible privilege it is to take part in the Lord's Supper as Christ commanded us to. What a timely reminder of the wonderful promises we have in Christ. And now might be as good a time as any to encourage any of you who have not yet made public profession of your of the Reformed faith, whether you have been baptized and haven't yet responded to God's promises to you, or whether you are new to the faith, maybe you are here for the first time. For when we see how Christ commanded us to do this, to remember Him, and then hearing how the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith, then we should think, I want that. What do I have to do to take part in that? And in the meantime, as you grow in your love and knowledge for all that God has done for us, while it may be true you're not having the full experience, we can still be reminded of Christ's work every time again when we see the bread and the wine. And yes, not only reminded, our faith also be strengthened time and again by being assured of promises of the gospel. That's the second point. To help us to understand how sacraments are not only signs or that remind us, but that they are seals or that they also assure us, I'd like to share with you an illustration I heard once some point that I found helpful. It's just always stuck with me. I guess it kind of resonated with me. Let's say we're traveling along the road of life, and we come across a fork in the road. One way is wide and broad and smooth, and the other is small, narrow, looks pretty rough. While choosing the wide gate sure looks a lot easier, by faith, you decide to go through the narrow gate. As you travel, you begin to wonder if you made the right choice. So many bumps along the way. It's so curvy, your whole family is getting car sick. Up and down, it's such a rough road, you can barely do 50. Why didn't you take the wide gate? Then after going around a particularly difficult and rough corner, up ahead in the distance you see a sign coming up. As you get closer, you see there are just two words. Finally, you can make them out and you read, "Remember me." I'm sure you can imagine the relief that would bring. And yes, you are reminded why you took that road, but you are also assured. This is the right way. Which is just confirmed for you when you see the next sign, "I am the bread of life." Then after another particularly trying and painful rough patch, you see another one. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." See, the point is, by faith, you were already on the right path. The signs just serve to strengthen the faith that is already there through the Holy Spirit. That's also how sacraments work. When we hear the word of the gospel, for example, when Jesus himself tells us, I am telling you the solemn truth, which is another way of saying, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It is the Holy Spirit who works faith in us, and thank God we believe. We take the narrow gate. And while, as we heard in the first point, I realize I'm repeating here, while the word of the gospel is completely sufficient, God also gave us visible signs and seals to assure us of the promise of the gospel. And we can be completely convinced of it. There's just no excuse not to be. Why? Because just as sure as you are that you really did see the bread broken in front of you, you saw the plate with the bread being passed around, you see the wine being poured into the cup, you see the tray of cups being passed around. You don't doubt that, do you? Well, we can be just as sure that Jesus' body was offered for you, for me. As surely as we see with our eyes, as surely as we touch and taste, so surely can we know that Jesus Christ's blood was poured out for us. Are we still having trouble believing that our sins are forgiven? Are we not sure about the promise of eternal life? Well, as surely as we receive and taste the bread and the cup of the Lord, so surely does Jesus Christ himself nourish and refresh our souls to eternal life with his crucified body and shed blood. But then we do need to turn our attention to think about, well, what does that mean? To eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his shed blood. Maybe this kind of language sounds a bit odd to us. Eating Jesus' flesh? Drinking his blood? Jesus, too, lost many of his followers after this particular teaching. In fact, it's misunderstanding this teaching that made some accuse the early Christians as being cannibals. This is metaphorical or symbolic language. Jesus Christ's body and blood are not consumed by our mouths, but with our hearts. That is, by faith, as the hand and mouth of our soul, to use the words of Belgian Confession we read in Article 35. And let's just think about this some more. Think it through a bit. If you or I were to sit down to eat a meal, we would have no doubt that the food we ate has satisfied our bodies. The drink we drank definitely quenched our thirst. We wouldn't wonder where the food and drink went. It's in us. Do you see how the bread and the cup is such wonderful assurance that Jesus Christ is in us, brothers and sisters? It is a spiritual exercise. We eat and drink with the mouths of faith. Eating and drinking Christ's body and blood simply means, first of all then, as we read in the Catechism, to accept with a believing heart that Christ died for me, that he made full payment for all my sins. And actually, the more we think about it, the more we realize that this type of language is not that foreign to us. We talk this way more often. Just a few examples. We might say we drink in what we're told. We devour books. We swallow a good story. We might chew on this or that idea. Yes, I do this more often than not. We can even eat our own words. So when we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we accept with a believing heart. It is metaphorical. But then, it also happens. This is a profound miracle. Eating Jesus Christ's crucified body and shed blood also means we are united more and more to Jesus through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us. Remember Jesus' words, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides or lives or remains in me, and I in them." And then if we keep in mind that we also just heard that whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life and the promise of resurrection. In other words, having eternal life and abiding in Jesus is virtually the same thing. What this all means, brothers and sisters, and this is truly incredible, is that when we accept with a believing heart and eat and drink Christ's body and blood, we can be assured of eternal life with Jesus. And this is not just some future reality we're talking about. Already right now, we are in Christ and he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Talk about assurance. Yes, there's no doubt. Christ is in heaven. We are on earth. And yet, we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. And yet, we live and are governed by one Spirit. So as we read in 2 Corinthians 3, we can be assured that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And by that Spirit, we are more and more being transformed to be like Christ. We hear all of this preached and taught from the Word of God. And all of this is then visibly proclaimed to us when we eat the crucified body of our Lord and drink his shed blood. Oh, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are Christians. That is, we belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have the absolutely incredible and amazing promise of the gospel. Hear this promise once more. God graciously gives us forgiveness of sins and eternal life because and only because of Jesus Christ, one sacrifice on the cross. And so we believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works this faith in our hearts by the proclaiming, the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit also strengthens our faith by the use of the sacraments. And so let us look forward eagerly to having our faith strengthened when we next are reminded and assured that our entire salvation rests on our Lord Jesus Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. Because as we will shortly sing, Christ Jesus really does bring us life from heaven. Oh, let us then joyful be. For Christ is our joy. His grace is the sunshine that warms and lights our hearts. I love that line. Oh, let us joyful be. Yes, Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our food and drink indeed. Our faith, my dear brothers and sisters, lives and rests in no one other than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.